Let me join now by a very distinguished guest. Well, I think all my guests are distinguished, but this one I have a fond affection for. He's one of the four men that were part of our town hall meeting, our live town hall meeting that we filmed before a live audience in November of 2021. It's still available all 4 hours, as I told you earlier in the broadcast, at WVWTV.com. His name is Brian Shepherd. He's a retired FBI agent. He served when it was the FBI that I knew and grew up respecting and admiring. As a four-year-old going through the FBI with my parents, my mother and others would take us there through the public tour at the FBI. And I did that all the way up to the time I was about a teenager. And so I grew up with great reverence for the FBI. I had FBI agents in my church. Some of my friends, their fathers were FBI agents. Some of them lived in our neighborhoods in the Northern Virginia, outside of D.C. area. And these gentlemen, Brian Shepherd, David Baldovin, Terry Turchi, Cecil Moses, those four gentlemen worked for the old FBI. Today it's a new FBI. It's a different FBI. It no longer seems to follow the slogan of fidelity and bravery and integrity. Brian Shepherd joins us tonight. Mr. Shepherd, welcome to Brandon House Live. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brandon. I'm honored to be here.
Well, it's an honor for us to have you with us. I want to first have our audience, maybe who didn't see the town hall meeting, and again, they're all 4 hours are at WVWTV.com, but for those who are new tonight and are just hearing your voice and getting to find out about you for the first time, tell our audience, if you would, please, how long you served at the FBI and maybe one or two of the biggest cases that you worked on that they might recognize.
Okay. I started my career with the FBI in 1972. Entered into the laboratory division, document section as a laboratory aide, where I worked there for about 3.5 years. Then I entered agents training class, graduated, and was assigned to the New York field office, and was there for about 7.5 years, primarily working foreign counterintelligence dash Russian. In 1983, I was assigned to the Springfield Division, Decatur, Illinois Resident Agency, where I worked a number of different federal criminal violations. And later on during my time in Decatur, I initiated a case, an antitrust case, against the Archer Daniels Midland Corporation, which is a price-fixing case. And through a lot of activity, it became the largest antitrust case at that time in the history of the Bureau. Archer Daniels Midland Corporation was fined $100 million. The vice president was sent to jail. It was unprecedented. No one had ever gone to prison for antitrust violations prior to that time.
And they made a movie about that, did they not?
Yes, a movie was made called The Informant with Matt Damon in it. And I was involved in that investigation where I was the primary case agent for about 7 years of my career.
So you're represented in that film then?
Yes,
Who played your part, you know? Do you remember?
Yeah, I can't think of his name right this second. He's on the New Orleans part of it's big on TV. Oh man.
I so seldom watch any regular television. What was the name of the movie? What's that, Logan? CIS? CIS? NCIS?
Yeah, CIS New Orleans.
NCIS. He's on
NCIS.
There.
NCIS. Yeah, NCIS New Orleans.
Do you remember the name of the movie?
Oh, sure. It's The Informant.
The Informant. Okay, I think I already asked that. Sorry. So people now have a background, understand your background, your distinguished career in big cases. You were also on the FBI SWAT team, were you not?
Yes, I was for several years as on the FBI SWAT team. And I'm very proud of being on the SWAT team as something I always wanted to do. And I'll just add this one thing that I didn't talk about during the town hall is the last 2.5 years of my career, I served as a chief technical agent in the Springfield Division. So I got to see a different side of the investigations involving technical surveillances. And I was one who did the technical side of those types of things, the installations, and that type of activity.
So with that as your background, Mr. Shepard, how do you process what happened to the home of the 45th President of the United States the other night?
This is very difficult for me to express in anything but emotional terms, Brandon, because if anyone saw the town hall where I spoke about the very unfortunate activity by the FBI against Roger Stone, I felt at that time that it was outrageous conduct, unnecessary, and it was done for nothing but intimidation purposes, to send a message. And since that time, unfortunately, several other people have been a party of those types of searches conducted by the SWAT team. I'll just add, in the time that I was on the SWAT team was used for criminals who had who were accused of violent federal criminal violations, or who were felons who were flight risks and a danger to the community. Those two criterias had nothing to do with many of these people who have been the subjects of these surveillance of the search warrants and sometimes arrests conducted by the FBI. And I believe that it is totally out of bounds, and not ever was the SWAT team supposed to be involved in nonviolent federal criminal violations. This, to me, is such an affront that I have been just, I can't express, Brandon, how much it upsets me. And I've talked to numerous other agents about it. And to a man, they feel strongly. Maybe not as strongly as I do, having served on the SWAT team, but knowing why we were used and those specific types of situations. Now, to address what happened with former President Trump, I feel that this was, again, nothing more than the highest level intimidation tactic. And from everything that I have learned from the media, that this was conducted because of a questionable interpretation of the National Archives Act and what presidents can and cannot take from their time at the White House. And if that is in case the fact a fact, and I haven't heard anything to the contrary, then this is very, very outrageous conduct.
There is coming out today, Brian, the reporting by some that perhaps President Trump had some information related to, what was it, Operation Hurricane, this Russia hoax that was created and manufactured against him even while he was president-elect, and that he had a lot of information on that, and that's what some are reporting today they were really after. that the whole National Archives thing is more of a cover, but what they were really after was any documentation he may have had that was would indict the FBI, would be the FBI would not want him having that kind of information. Now, that's what we're hearing from sources. Whether it's true or not, we'll have to wait to see. But that again, would be a real problem if the FBI is making such a raid with a search warrant, trying to gather up information that the former president was maintaining, because I know he's bringing lawsuits to bear, several lawsuits to bear, related to the Russia hoax and other things that were done to him personally and his family and his administration. If the FBI was being used as a political tool to get back that information, that is even more egregious, is it not?
It absolutely is. Now, I might as well give a small education, and probably most of the listeners have heard some of this, but I just want to walk people through what the process is to get a search warrant, Brennan. It is not easy. The search warrant, as everyone understands, is an extraordinary tool in the investigative tool bag. It is the biggest invasion of privacy a citizen can have executed against them. Therefore, the Constitution makes it very difficult to obtain one, and you have to swear as the affiant on a warrant that you have tried other means to obtain the item or items that you allege are part of the federal criminal violation that you're alleging that the subject has conducted. So you have to tell the judge or magistrate, I have tried this method. I have tried that method. And I feel that even a subpoena will not suffice in this case. And I feel that the items or item or items that I'm seeking may be disposed of, and therefore I need to invade this person's property to execute a search warrant. So that is a very high bar and a high standard. And in this case, I am very curious to see what the application for that search warrant says. And if indeed what you just told me, which I had not heard, is true, it would have to, in order to be a legal search warrant, be stated by the affiant that they are in there, they feel that they have to conduct this search in order to obtain evidence of the FBI's illegal actions. This would be extraordinary, extraordinary. We're talking about something that's completely off the charts.
Well, and again, I just want to clarify, this is what we're being told by some sources, and it's out there tonight, and we'll obviously see what happens. But we are also hearing tonight, Epoch Times is reporting that a judge has ordered the Department of Justice to respond to requests to unseal FBI's Trump warrant. So it'll be interesting to see what's on there, because we're also being told, I think by Eric Trump today in an interview or yesterday, that the attorney, one of Trump's attorneys, who was on the grounds, was not allowed to watch what they were doing. I think this went on for 6 to 7, 8, 9 hours, was removed down to the end of the driveway. We are hearing reports that the Mar-a-Lago staff was asked to turn off any cameras monitoring. We heard today that they refused to do that, which I think good for them. but to not have his attorney being able to watch what they're doing, if they have nothing to hide and everything they're doing is by the book, why would they not want his attorney to watch and document even for their own protection?
Now, that's a very intriguing question, Brandon, and that is a close call. I'll just tell you, that's a close call. When you have the authority from a judge or a magistrate, again, it's the scope of what you're trying to seize as evidence should be very narrow in its scope, okay? And to be faced with attorneys who you don't know what their intention is. They're there, obviously, to, as much as they can, protect the subject of that search warrant. Now, I will say, if I had not been in the Bureau, again, this would be something that I would say, I can't believe someone would not let an attorney, go with me on a search. And I would retort to, it would depend. This is not something that's real clear cut, Brandon, and that you would maybe, you would try at the outset to have a relationship with the attorney and say, here's why I'm here. This is what I need to do. They need to have a spokesman or two, especially in this extraordinary situation. And now, whether they allowed an attorney to go with them during the search, I think that could be easily argued later on. I don't know right offhand, and I can't remember any legal training in which there is a hard and fast rule about a subject's attorney being present. This is so out of the ordinary.
What about showing the search warrant? We're hearing reports tonight that the attorney asked to see the search warrant, and it was eventually showed to them about 10 feet away. If these reports...
I can answer that very easily. If you need to display that search warrant to anyone who is there at the search, and especially an attorney who would understand and be able to comprehend what's in there. The average citizen may have little learning time to figure it out. But an attorney, I would have no. If I knew that was a legal search warrant that's signed off on by a magistrate, and I am there to obtain evidence of a particular crime that's been alleged, I would have no problem showing that attorney, this is why we're here. It was signed off on by a judge or magistrate. We have legal authority to gain these items of evidence. No question in my mind about that one, Brandon.
So not showing it readily and letting the attorney have a moment to read it close up, that's not standard protocol.
It happens so rarely, but I certainly, in my experience, I'll just have to, of course, defer to my experience, I would show that search warrant, copy of the search warrant, to... He would certainly be more than an interested party. He is representing the subject in a legal fashion. Therefore, he is entitled to see what item or items are being sought as a result of that warrant that's been issued by the judge or the magistrate.
And of course, the president now tonight, or earlier today, is saying, how do I know they didn't plant something? And, of course, I would think that if the attorney were allowed to be there and monitor what was happening, the attorney, I guess, could be subject to all kinds of problems if they got before a judge and lied and said, no, Your Honor, I was there. I watched the whole thing. I got to read the search warrant. I know what they were looking for. I know the scope of it. I watched. No, sir. What I was seeing, I didn't see when planting anything. Again, it just seems to be a really weird thing, particularly since we're talking about the 45th president of the United States. But here is a lawsuit that was filed. Plaintiff, Donald J. Trump. Defendants include Hillary Clinton. Okay, number one, Hillary Clinton, Democratic National Committee. We'll skip over some of the names, so give the more famous names. We have, this was filed on March 24th, 2022. So we have Hillary Clinton, the DNC, we have John Podesta, we have Jake Sullivan, we have Bruce Orr, Nellie Orr, we have Christopher Steele, Peter Stoke, Lisa Page. I think those are two former FBI. We have Andrew McCabe. Okay, so these are Adam Schiff. Okay, I didn't name all of them. That's some of them. That's your defendants. Your plaintiffs, if Donald Trump, filed March 24, 2022. When I just looked this up online today. When I go down, I see judges, the referring judge, Judge 2, Judge 3, Judge 4, Judge 5, Judge 6. Judge 4 is Bruce Reinhart. Well, then I went over to another document that I found today, and there it is. This one dated June 22nd, 2022, notice of recusal by himself, and people can see it on the screen. I guess my question is, if he had to recuse himself from this case, and I know it's reported he gave donations to Obama's campaign, that he has made some comments on social media or somewhere against the president, 44 President Trump. If he had, for whatever reason, if he had to recuse himself from this case, wouldn't he also be wise to have recused himself from signing the search warrant?
I certainly think that would absolutely apply in this case, and why he would be the magistrate. It's, I used to say, as a bureau agent, there are no coincidences, Brandon. And if you just think about that, in this case, it just, can we say it was ironic that he was the magistrate that signed off on this warrant?
Yes, yes, yes.
And so when you bring that up, and I was not aware of what you just described to me, but at the very least, knowing his background in general, of all the judges and magistrates that are in that area in Florida, that they happened to find him to sign off on this warrant.
Who also, by the way, is, according to all kinds of news reports, went from working for the government to private practice as a defense attorney, representing some of Jeffrey Epstein's staff or people, pilots, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yes,
again, very disturbing individual in some regards. I guess everybody's entitled to a defense, but the whole thing all around seems disturbing. I've got about 60 seconds left, Brian.
Okay.
Are you disturbed, clearly, at what has happened to this once highly esteemed agency? Because as a private citizen, I sure am.
Brandon, again, my feelings are so deep, and the feelings are absolute, that I feel that the time that myself and the agents that worked for the FBI at that time were there to maintain a standard of fidelity, bravery, and integrity. And I feel that that standard has been trampled by the overzealous tyrants who have had an agenda that crushes freedom and independence.
Well, Mr. Shepard, I know on behalf of my audience, they would have me say thank you for your service. Thank you for your commitment to the Constitution, to liberty, freedom, fidelity, bravery, integrity. And we appreciate your integrity. We appreciate your being on here with us tonight.
Well, it was great to get the word out. And I hope your audience learned a little by what I had to say, Brandon, and that we're trying to keep the ship of state afloat, but it's very difficult.
Indeed it is. You did a wonderful job. We look forward to having you back. Brian Shepard, my friends. That's one of the guys we can respect, along with Terry Turchie and Cecil Moses and Terry Turchie, four FBI agents. Go watch that full 4 1-hours I did with them at WVWTV.com. I talked to a young person today who's in college. Her name is Faith. She's intrigued by some of these topics. Don't underestimate young people out there. Send them the links to these shows after they're posted. Let's bring up another generation that understands how to defend liberty. Take care.